Let's give thank God for Tony. He's going to share this morning. Amen. Amen. He's got his phone.
A little different in 2018. We use phones for everything. All right. We're going to open up with some prayer, if y'all don't mind. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord God, a day in your kingdom, a day in your presence, Lord God, a day filled with your Holy Spirit. We just are in joyful thanksgiving, oh Lord God, that you are here with us, Lord God, and that we have an opportunity to be before my brothers and sisters, oh Lord God, to share a word that's been in my heart. So, Father God, may your words come forth through my mouth, Lord God, and may we touch heaven this morning, oh Lord God, so that we may be edified and built up in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As you can see, the title of my message today is We Don't Have Time to Be for Distractions. We don't have time for distractions. I'm going to be reading from my phone a little bit because I don't got my glasses. And I am 30 now, so, you know, that stuff started affecting you a little bit more. No. Yeah, but distractions. We talked about this a little bit the other day in our New Breed class. Shout out to New Breed. We have one of the biggest tactics of the enemy for us is distraction. Now that, you know, the scripture tells us about how he steals, kill, and destroy, but we're under a heavenly rule now. We're under something different now. He can't just come in and steal, kill, and destroy anything that Christ has his stamp on, right? So all he can do is hope to distract us from it. Same thing he did with Adam and Eve. He didn't have any right to steal, kill, or destroy them in the beginning in the garden. So he had to deceive them. He had to distract them. So that same tactic, you know, same old one-trick pony, right? So it's important that we remember that we have to tell ourselves not to be distracted. Because, you know, we go through life and everything in life, you know, we have our issues of life. We have, you know, things that, you know, we do that demands our attention, that demands our time. And that's only the only thing that we don't get back. We can't get time back. You know, we have one life to live, and it's short. The Lord tries to illustrate that to us throughout the scripture multiple times, is that we're only here for a brief moment. We can't miss our time. We can't waste our time. So, you know, when it comes to our things, we have to tell ourselves, you know, we don't have time for distractions anymore. We have to tell Satan to stand aside. We don't have time. We got to tell our jobs to stand aside because we don't have time. We have to tell our schoolings and our kids stand aside because we don't have time. We don't have much time to waste. We don't know what's promised tomorrow. We don't know what our future may hold. We don't know if God's coming back later on this day. We don't know if our number is going to be called later on today. We don't know this. We pray and we hope that we have multiple years and years and years and years upon serving the Lord, but we just don't know. And we don't want to live with regret. So we have to be about kingdom business. It wasn't a shock that Pastor got up this morning and was talking about the kingdom. Pastor Jerry talking about the kingdom. It's important that we are about kingdom business. Our life should revolve around kingdom business. But in life, when we're distracted by our everyday life, our worries and concerns, our earthly stresses, or what's to come, our children, our work, our school, our health, things of wealth, so on and so on, those things become what the Bible calls as issues of life. But what about the kingdom? Those things have its importance in life, in earthly living. It does. You know, God told us we have to work. He tells us we got to take care of our children. Even at 3 o'clock in the morning when they wake up and you have to work in the morning. Right? We need education. We need to further ourselves. You know, we those things have its place, but there is no place higher than the kingdom in the believer's life. There is no place that's above the spirit for spiritual life, spiritual living, right? So we have to step aside from those distractions. We have to really be mindful, because Satan will really just let you live. When you become a believer, you know, before you become a believer, he wants to do everything in his power to keep you out of the house, to keep you away from the believers, to keep you from the message of Christ. But once you're in, he wants to allow you to do everything you want to do, whatever feels comfortable for you, so that he can keep you from growing in Christ. From doing the kingdom work, he will allow you to do all types of missionary work and all this stuff, speaking in tongues, doing all these things. But if God didn't tell you to walk in that way, you're walking outside of the message or the purpose that God had for your life. So all those good deeds become like filthy rags. I know it's hard to conceive, but it happens. So we have to be very mindful that we're not distracted by what feels good to us or what we feel is good for the kingdom. But we have to make sure that our mind is surrounded by the presence of God so much that we're walking in and living in day by day with the purpose in our mindset of saying, God, how can I serve your kingdom today? How can I bring heaven to earth? How can I touch that upper realm once again today? Whether it's in school, whether it's in it with our children, whether it's with our work, whether it's with church, whatever it is, how can we touch heaven, Lord God? Because our main goal is to bring your kingdom to other people and our brothers and sisters in this earth. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to destroy. He came to save. Right. So through his saving, he sacrificed. He laid down himself. He did something. He tore a veil so that we may be able to enter into the most holy of holies, right? So he did all of this. He bled and died in a painful way on the cross for us just to go to work 9 to 5, 8 to 4, 12-hour shifts, to be stressed out, to go back again the next day. That's why he died? No, that is not why he died. You know how great the gift is of children. He didn't die for us just to raise children in this world. So what about the reasons we've been called? What about it? What about the call? What about the purpose in our lives that we've been called to? That thing that made us rejoice when he first called us. You know, sometimes we forget that call, when we first got it, that joy we had, that you know, we didn't want to be anywhere else but in the presence of the Lord. When we first get saved and we realize that our sins have been forgiven and that God has called us into something bigger and better than who we were in this earth, you know, that all this other stuff, worldly life, it just don't matter no more. You know, we've forgotten that cost of our oil. You know, when Mary, when she went and prayed, I mean, when she went and cried before and tears and wept and poured perfume on the feet of the Lord, you know, sometimes we forget that was us, our own perfume. We had our own oils. We had our own pain and stuff that we brought before the Lord and laid at his feet and cried and said, Lord, take my sin, take my pain. I need you in my life. That was us. But somewhere when we become believers, we can somehow forget that. And we just go on about everyday life. Pastor Jerry is pouring out her oil upon the master's feet. Even today, day after day, we see it. And, you know, Pastor Jerry, those scriptures, I got some scriptures that God placed in my heart. And this is for everybody who believes in the promises of the Lord. But according to those promises, you know, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What you're going through is bringing forth a new heaven and a new earth in your life, a new body, a new heaven, a new touch of the Spirit upon you. It's going to bring new righteousness. It's going to dwell in you. It's not going to be the same everyday life. And then it says in Genesis 28:15, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to your name.
He is not going to leave us until he's done what he has promised. So anybody who want to receive that, that was for Pastor Jerry, but for anyone who wants to receive it, receive that. There's promises that God has given us all, but we have to hold fast to them. There's a new earth, a new heaven that's coming. All right, we're going to move on. We have to remember what the future, we don't know what the future holds for us. We can't miss our moments. We can't miss, you know, I hear Pastor Gary and Pastor Jerry and all of them say this, you know, the breed that came before the new breed. They say this a lot. I'm not going to say the old breed. The breed that came before the new breed. The mature breed. There we go. The mature breed. They say this often. They say this often is that they feel like they've wasted so many years going through churchdom. They tell us this all the time. This is for us new breed so that we can remember, that we can learn a lesson so that we won't have to repeat. We don't want to have to keep going around in the wilderness. We don't want to have to keep circling that mountain. We want to walk into our promise yet while we're young, while we can, and while we're strong and can bear these things, right? So we can enjoy the promise. So with that, we can't miss our moments. We can't miss our 20s and 30s. You know, 30 is now my most important year until the next year. You see? And that's how that goes for everyone. That next, this year is no year more important than this year, this very moment. We can't miss it. Then I'm gonna go on some scriptures, but I want to start off first with John 12:3. Because there's no room for distractions. There's no room for distractions. This is where we were talking about. I didn't pull it up here, but I have it on my screen, on my phone. It's talking about where Mary, she took her pint of nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it away with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfumes. Luke 38 is the kind of same thing. It says that she stood behind him weeping at his feet. She began to wipe his feet with her tears and then wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured out her perfume on them. We have to remember that. We have to remember why we fell in love with Christ, why we wanted to pour out our whole heart upon God, because that joy lit up the room. When you walked in, people knew something was different. Your friends knew something was different. Hey, why you don't want to go out with us no more? I got to go to church. I got to go to prayer. I got to, you know, it's something about it. You just want to talk about God every chance you get. Like, dang, all we do is talk about God. I mean, I see him in everything. We go to the movies. We talking about them. Movie ain't got nothing to do with God, but somehow we found God in it. We have to get back to why we poured our oil upon God. Then we're going to move on. I think I'm going to go Luke. I'm going to start with Luke 2. It says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. You know, he knew all the answers, but he said, let me see if y'all know. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. You know, in modern day, you know, in my household, boy, you gonna get it when you get home. I've been searching for you. We looking for you. How dare you leave our sight? I told you not to leave my sight. And his answer, which we consider talking back into this modern day age. But God is good, right? Why were you searching for me? He got the nerve to ask a question at that moment. You know he Jesus, because only Jesus can get away with that. Only Jesus can get away with something like that. Only Jesus. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house or about my father's business? We have to get them there early. their mindset has to be about being on the Father's business. I have to be in my Father's house. I have to be about my Father's business. I have to be about the purpose in which I have been called. All else does not matter. Being next to you, Mama, I'm sorry, but it's not my purpose. Being at my cousin's house is not my purpose. Amen. Working 40 plus hours and getting kudos and raises at work is not about your purpose. It's not about what, that's not what God has called you to do. All that stuff is good in the earthly. But what about the kingdom? What about the heavenly? What about Christ? The one who sacrificed it all for you. We have to get back to our purpose. And I'm going to go to Luke 9:57, 62 through 62. Now we have to talk about the cause. Because a lot of times in Christian life, we don't know that we're putting things above God. Because we got our own sense of righteousness. We got our own sense of thoughts that what's right. You know, I have to do this. I have to do that. You know, then I can go to church and then I can pray. Right. You know, we put everything about God know my heart. He know my heart. He know in my heart I got him above everything else. But through my actions, I put everything else. You see what I'm saying? Actions don't line up with our thoughts that much, right? So in Luke, the cost of the following of Christ. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He's telling us we can say what we can talk that game, but I'm in your heart. You know, you say you'll follow me, but will you carry me? See, sometimes, you know, the Lord speaks to us in these riddles and he wants us to understand it. And he tried to make it simple for us, but we just ain't able to drink the milk yet. Then he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. That's a reasonable thought, you know, most people would think, you know, my dad just died. That's my daddy, you know. I'm hurting right now. I'm mourning. You said that everybody can have a chance for a little bit of mourning, right? No. He said, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Woo. Talking about a slap in the face. Like he didn't even say, you know, he didn't say let your family go bury your father. He said let the dead bury their dead. Leave him where he at, and you go do what I told you to do. You go do the purpose in which you've been called. The kingdom is more important than your dead daddy. That's hard. That's a hard slap to the face. It's hard. That's a hard slap to the face. But that's the cost. Still another man said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. I love Zaza. I love Mandel. I love my grandma and them. I love my, you know, cousins and them. I love all of them. But Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. Man, can't even say bye to my family. And then and these things are harsh for a reason in the scriptures. He said it to get you to understand that there is nothing important, more important than the kingdom of God. Nothing in this earthly life, your kids, your family, your cousins and them, your job, your finances, your wealth, your inheritance in which you're leaving for your family. None of it is more important. If the kingdom of God is not being ministered and people are not being saved, all that stuff is nothing, because all of it's going to be wiped away in the coming kingdom anyway. Your inheritance in this earth ain't going to mean nothing in the kingdom. If you don't got kingdom inheritance stored up in heaven, you ain't got nothing when you get there. Your family ain't got nothing if they don't have a spiritual foundation built up into them from an early age. It don't matter. It don't matter. None of that stuff matters if we're not living a kingdom life. What's the point? I thank God for Pastor Jerry because I'm praying because that miracle is just as much as her miracle is my miracles too, because I'm praying for it and I'm believing for it. And so when her miracle follows through in the presence of God and he comes and make it manifest in this earth, that means my prayers were manifested in the earth. The power in which the words in which I spoke to heaven have come down and have manifested itself. So in all of that being said is that if I am not doing what I'm supposed to do, her health means nothing if God does not get the glory. If it is a doctor healing, God can't get the real glory. He has to get her to a place where there is no other person that can heal her. She's like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm looking for a miracle, Lord. Where is my miracle? He said, I am your miracle. Your health means nothing if it's wasted in the earth that is dying. It don't mean nothing. All them good deeds you're doing to your family means nothing if you haven't set them on a path to meet God. Because in the end, they're going to die a horrible death. And it's not just talking about earth death. I'm talking about a spiritual death. That was the worst thing that we experienced through Adam. We hear, they were in the garden. It was beautiful. It was God. Oh, get us back to the paradise. No, our paradise was in God. Wherever God is and we are, that's paradise. It ain't about a forest. It ain't about some trees or some fruit. It ain't about that. It's about being able to walk with the presence of God. God can build a new tree for you to eat from. That ain't nothing. He put them there anyway. But the fact of the matter is we have to get to a place where we know our purpose and we're living by for our purpose. And we can't be distracted by the issues of life anymore. We have to know our cause. So there are no more room for distractions. And I'm going to end. I don't have much more to say, but I'm going to end with this next scripture because we have to persevere through faith, with faith. You can go to the next slide. Oh, before I go to that slide, we must stay in the inner courts. It's important that we stay in the inner curtains of heaven, the most holy of holies. That's the only way that we can keep and be assured that we're walking by faith. God has already opened that door, so the Spirit is always talking to you. It's like you might have those moments, like Pastor Michelle was saying. She was saying that at 5 o'clock in the morning, she's saying, why are you up so early? I'm praying for you. She was in the most holy of holies. God wanted her up to be praying so that Pastor Jared could be here today. You see what I'm saying? We have to be we have to be in the house so deep. We have to be in the presence of God so deep that we can be able to be responsive to the spiritual leading that the Holy Spirit is going. Because the Spirit is talking always, but if we distracting and we can't hear it, then we miss it. We miss our moments. So this is what Satan does. He tries to distract you by moving pieces in and out of your life. And then he tries to put a heavier load. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with Jenga. But it's a tall tower and you move and you slide and you move and slide and eventually that thing gets to teetering and tottering. That's your life. I got bills that keep weighing me down. I got family issues that keep weighing me down. I got health that keep weighing me down. And now I'm teetering because now I don't have no strength. I don't have no legs to stand on. And then sometimes if you know you play that game and you move in pieces, it's only by the grace of God that thing didn't fall over. You're like, ah. But that's what Satan wants you to focus on. He wants you to focus on the pieces that are being removed in and out of your life. Who cares? Who cares? Let them. If things are going, if people are leaving your life, let them. If God is saying this is not your job no more, thank you, Lord. Because know that there are going to be more pieces built up. Life doesn't stop when something is removed in and out of your life. It just added on top. And you have to be able to be secure in who God is, no matter how shaky things look. That's the kingdom. The king, look, you got to remember, the top is always full. That's a section in your life that is always full, and it's always at the top. It's always at the highest point. It's always full. It has no holes. So God is good. God is good. We must stay aware that we are of the kingdom business while we are here on this earth. We can't forget it. The gift is not more important than the giver. God has given he gave us the gift of life. He knows the issues of it. But we can't forget the giver. Who's more valuable, the boat or the boat maker? We put too much value on the boat. Oh, the boat can take me across the river. Well, if that boat get a hole in it, who's going to fix that boat? And that's what happens to us. We get holes in our boat and we panic and forget that we got the boat maker. But God is letting us trying to reevaluate our minds and say, don't forget it. I am the source of life. Don't worry about these issues. I am the source of life. He who comes to me eat abundantly. So, full assurance of faith. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil consciousness and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confessions of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. We got to remember that. He is faithful. He is faithful, Pastor Jerry. Everybody in here got something that we've been praying for. He is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and of good works, not neglecting to meet together as in habit of some, but encourage one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Bless this house. That's what this house is. We don't forsake the meetings because we know that there is life in this house. We can go to one another and we can get encouragement. You know, there's so many days where I wasn't feeling it. I love the Lord and all that stuff and highly favored and all that. But some days you just ain't in it. You know you're not. It's not me trying to be standoffish. But the Lord says, when you come to this house, I might sit in the back or y'all might not even see me in the room. But the Lord is just hitting me like, wow, if I would have stayed home today, I wouldn't have got those hits. Hearing somebody's testimony is just hitting me deep, like, oh my gosh, Lord, I was over here thinking about this and my issues, but look at what they're going. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. This house is blessed. This house is blessed. And it's because of you. It's not because of the building, it's because of you. Each and every one of you are important to the next person that's next to you. The person from the front row to the back row, from the back row to the front row, y'all are important for us, for prevailing. His name is not a coincidence. It's for prevailing. We need you all to prevail in this life. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there is no longer remains of sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment. And a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. We're not adversaries. Anyone that has set aside the law of Moses died without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much more worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he has sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partnered with those who were so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that yourselves had been a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which you have a great reward. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Remember what I said? Remember, count the oil. We went through great afflictions for God, because we knew we had a better promise. We are the inheritance of God. God said, you are my inheritance. I have adopted you. There is no greater possession on this earth, no valuable item that is better than you in God's eyes. He rejoices over you. You know, right now we yet here on this earth, but he can't wait to bring us home. He looks forward to the day where he can say, I'm back. You guys are with us. But he said, I want y'all to visit every now and again. You can come to heaven. You can come to my house, but you still got to go out back out because I need y'all to do y'all work. But he cannot wait till he can see us face to face day by day, every single day, even though we can experience that right here on earth. But I'm just talking about when we finally reach that heavenly place and that the mansions and the rooms that has been set up for us. Like, it's so funny. Zai, he turns 1 in 2 months. Time is flying. 2 months from now, he'll be 1 year old. And me and Amanda were talking about birthday, what we're going to do for his birthday, how we want to set it up. And it brings us joy to even think about it like that. Amen. How much more is it with the Father? And he's rejoicing. I can't wait till I bring my children home. I can't wait. I'm building up these places in heaven. I'm constantly thinking about them. I'm constantly in the inner courts talking to the Father. Christ and the Father is constantly talking about Michael, Pastor Mike. It's like, oh, did you see him today? Pastor put him out 3 times. Did you see him? Did you see him? Oh, it hit him hard, too. It hit him hard. Brings great pleasure to God. And we got to take that confidence. We can't throw that confidence away. We can't throw those experiences away. It's important. For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So if we fall away, we can't get our promise, y'all. That's why it's important that we remember and not be distracted, because we won't get our promise if we are. We can't say, God, but you remember, for at least 5 of those years, I was good. No. Day after day, it's no turning back. You can't say, I agreed today. I'm going to have a bad month here or there. No. Even in your bad months, you have to be committed to the promise that God has placed over your life. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. He's not delaying over your life, Pastor Jerry. Amen. It's coming. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. But of those who have faith and preserve their souls. That is who prevailing is. That is who we are. Everyone in this room, who we are as the body of Christ. So we thank God for this word. And we are fully assured that we will not be distracted. If we have been distracted, we repent and we will not be distracted anymore. We have full assurance that the promises of God are true. And they are indeed yea and amen. And we understand that we are going to have things that come up in life, but they do not take precedence over our Lord and Savior and the purpose that he has called us to do. So we thank God, and I'm going to end us in prayer. He's going to close. But I just want to say thank God for this word. I thank y'all for being here. I thank God for each and every one of you. Keep us prayed up. Everyone in this room, please keep each other prayed up and lifted up in the spirit, and so that we may be able to be encouraged and move on in the spirit together.
Let's give Tony a hand. Thank you, Jesus is right. All right. So it's the, what do you say, Pastor Mike? New breed.
New breed.
New breed. It's the flavor of this house. Isn't it stunning how it can reach people? It can reach all of us. As long as we stick together, right? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now we know what that means. You stick close to each other. Not we don't forsake the assembling just so people can get your money. It's so that we can rise together in the spirit. There's an aroma of prevailing, Tony. The house has an aroma. So it's not so much by teaching, it's not so much by what you say, it's not so much by even what the Bible says. It's the aroma and the scent that's in here that you smell and eat of, even when you're not sensing it yourself. All you got to do is get close. So all you got to do is get close and closer and closer. Tony said this, the closer you get, you know, the more you kind of know and feel it. If you're at a distance, you can't get it. You know, it's let me tie in there and then I'll understand why the dead has to bury the dead and that there's something more important. If I'm out here, that doesn't make any sense to me. But if I'm in tight, oh, I know what he meant. There's something deeper in me than even my natural sibling. Grab a hold of the life that's rising up in this place. You know, from the starter service, from Pastor Jerry, from the starter service, from Pastor Jerry to the worship team, to Kristen Davis, to Bree, to what Shelley said, certainly what Tony was saying, there was life in it. And that's starting to, you know, Pastor Glow said, I don't know why I'm dressing because I'm staying home. But see, life compels you. I'm trying to get to you the invisible part of this. That you can't reason this stuff out. It's past your mind. See, you say, I've got responsibilities, and so reason says, I got to take care of those. But if you get past your reason and to the life of it, I got to be there. The world doesn't understand. My family doesn't understand. People think I'm crazy, but I can't get past this life that's rising. Tony's message was a message of life. There's only life in the kingdom. And he hit it hard, didn't he? And I think KD set him up. Because KD said, if you want to stay a baby, there's the door. That's kind of what Tony was saying. Because that's not the prevailing way. That's not God's way. God wants you to be fruitful and multiply and grow in him in the spirit. And that's like Tony said, that's my kingdom. Grab it. Stay close. Katie said, when I start to come down, Pastor Mike will come and put me right back up there. I finally gave him one. Pastor Michael, say something to get me right back up there. I come down, Deborah will text me something, I'm back up there. I come down, and Pastor Jerry said, hey, welcome to the kingdom. I come down, we go to Rye Hope, burn thing, open the door, welcome to the kingdom. But, you know, it's becoming real to us. Alive. You wake up in the morning. I'm telling you, Tony's message, it kind of cut through stuff. It's not doctrinal. It's the kingdom. And listen, he can't share that if he's not experiencing the kingdom himself. Thank God for what's happening here. Grab a hold. Grab a hold of Tony. Grab a hold of Tony. Where'd you get that from, sir? Call him every day. Text him every day. Because people, they have something. They have something maybe we don't have. You know, you get to the place that I'll lose everything in my life to get this kingdom. You can have it. Devil, you can have it. Just give me that kingdom. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the hope. What kind of hope was that, Chris? Realigned hope. That this world can never give me. This world could never give it to me. It's in those inner courts. Father, have mercy on our unbelief. Have mercy on our unbelief. Show us your glory. Show us the glory of the kingdom. Show us how to go from glory to glory and continue to distance ourselves from this world. We want you, Lord Jesus. We want you. Let your life live inside of us. Born in your image, Lord, in the new birth. Complete what you started. We thank you for each person here. That the life of heaven, the life of the heavenly world, the life of the kingdom is resident in each person. Let it grow. Let it grow, Lord. May your purposes be established. Let it grow, Father. Grow us, Father. Grow us according to your plan, according to your way. Grow us till you're pleased, until you're satisfied. Not until we're satisfied, till you're satisfied. Have your way. And then continue to rejoice over us. The way Tony said it, continue to rejoice over us. I pray that each person in here would see that the kingdom of God is at hand. Their eyes would be enlightened toward it. And then others would see it and grab a hold of it as well. Thank you for each person. Thank you for this house that you built and not made by human hands. Continue to grow it. In Jesus' name, amen.